have you here. Just to give you a little background for our visitors, we have just moved to this facility. We've only been in this facility. This is our second Sunday, and this is our second Sunday having a morning service. So we are a little bit rusty in getting things going and getting here on a reasonable time. And I know for myself, I was a little bit hectic this morning, but we're thankful that you're here. And we are growing. This is a new facility that the Lord has provided for us, and we're so thankful to be here. We've been meeting in the evenings at 4 o'clock, and we've been doing that for about 4.5 years. And we've been praying for God to move us to a morning service, give us the opportunity to meet in the morning like most of us desire. And so it's a privilege to be here this morning, and we welcome you to visit, those of you who are visiting with us. That said, I felt the Lord burdening my heart for this service this morning to do a heart examination for us as a church. It was about 6 years ago, literally 6 years ago to the day, that Carrie, myself, and Dave Amandis landed in Rapid City, South Dakota. We had taken a plane from Los Angeles, California, and we had come out here to meet with some fellow believers here in Spearfish, South Dakota, to discuss the viability of starting a new church here in the area. That summer, Grace Community Church, John MacArthur's church, had started a new ministry called Grace Advance. And the goal of that ministry was to provide pastors or church leaders to existing churches to revitalize those churches that maybe had fallen down on difficult times, or to start new churches in this great land of the United States of America. When this new ministry called Grace Advance was started in June of 2011, I was one of the privileged 9 to take part in this ministry. I had the privilege of studying at the Master's Seminary for 5 years. Yes, I crammed 3 years of seminary training into 5. And along with being a member at Grace Community Church for the 7 years that we were there, we had the privilege of joining Grace Advance in 2011. I was so thrilled to be a part of the ministry. I had been contacted by one of the elders at Grace Community Church to see if I wanted to be a part of that new ministry of planting churches. And I was thrilled because Grace Community Church was finally doing a ministry of planting churches. When I went to seminary there, originally the seminary was training men to just merely send them out into existing churches. The goal was never to plant churches. And finally, in 2011, all my years of prayer and desire had come to fruition in the fact that Grace Church was planting churches. And so, I had the privilege of flying out here and meeting the believers here, a core group of believers. And back in the spring of 2011, these believers had met prior to our coming in the hopes of potentially starting a church, and they had wanted to start a church here that had a desire to exposit the Word of God. They had a desire to follow the Word of God. The Word of God was the priority of their hearts, and they wanted to start a church that was founded on God's Word, so they reached out to Grace Advance to send a pastor. Many of our core members will remember that Bob White and Rich Gregory were the elders from Grace Community Church that flew out here to vet this group of believers to see about the viability of launching a church in this community. And a few months later, on the weekend of June 25th to the 26th, today is June 25th, exactly 6 years ago, we all met together at the Hopewell's home to discuss starting a church here. We had our first worship service on the morning of the 26th. We met in a house, and that was the beginning of it all for us here as a church here in Spearfish. For 6 years, beloved, we have all been at work in this church. some of us longer than others, our core group knows the labor of love. We have spent 6 years getting to know one another, loving one another, serving one another, growing with one another. As individuals and as a corporate body here, we have had good times and we have had difficult times. We have had encouraging times as a body, and we have had discouraging times or difficult times, which is to be expected as a church family. Just like the natural family experiences these highs and these lows, so it is with the spiritual family of God. We go through ups and downs in Christ, even as a family of God, and it can be very difficult. Planting a church, planting churches is a difficult task. It is a task that has at its core faith. That is why we named our church Faith Bible Church, because it is an endeavor of faith. I share all this with you, beloved, because we just recently have experienced both an up and a down. We have experienced the blessing of great encouragement and finally finding a facility that we can meet in with mornings, that we can call literally our own home. We can meet. It's our place. We have a presence in the community that is out there on the street continuously 24/7. And it is a great blessing. But we have also experienced somewhat of a setback. And that setback is, as many of you are aware, that one of our core family members, the Hopewells, are potentially leaving us. I know Mitch and Angela had shared this with you, many of you, last Sunday. They had told pretty much everybody, and so I feel at liberty to share that with you. But we are losing them, and that is a bit of a setback. Mitch and Angela have been with us for 6 years. They were the family that drove down from Spearfish and got a U-Haul and helped us move our family out here. I have pictures. I was reminiscing of that time. I went through those pictures and looked at them at our house in Colorado and then moving us out here and then moving our church here and all the work that they have done. We have been greatly blessed by their presence in our church. Mitch and Angela have served our church family faithfully for 6 years, opening their home to us. In fact, our second service and our third service was in the basement of their house, if you remember that, for our core believers. They opened their jacuzzi for baptisms. They did outreach on nights at their house. They have been leading worship for many years, and they've been leading our youth group for many years, and now they are leaving. Mitch has got a great opportunity to go out to the Master's University and work with John MacArthur in their university there on the online department. But all that said, we know that God is in charge. Amen? God is in charge. We know that he never makes a mistake in what he does. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 4 says, "Proclaim the name of the Lord, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." We have just experienced a blessing and somewhat of a setback as a small church plant in this community, but we know he is in charge of both. And I will tell you, the timing of the way this rolled out is nothing more than the positive providence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you already know, I had already come to look at this facility with Ike and came to look at this facility and potentially using this facility. And literally after we had come to this place and looked at it and said, yes, we want to take this place on and we want to rent this facility, it was literally 30 minutes after that, Mitch came to my office and told me of their potential leaving. God is in charge. He knows what he is doing. He is in charge of both the good and the difficult times. And we, like Job, want to be like Job when Job said in his adversity, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity or difficulty? We have no problem, beloved, accepting the good things that God gives us, but do we accept the difficulty and the difficult things that come into our lives, both individually and corporately? The thing is, God has done them both. Now, I share this with you because as a leadership team, and I especially have felt this with the getting of this new place, I have felt that this was an opportune time for us as a church to kind of go through a resetting process. We have been meeting at nights, as I say, for many years. We have had a presence in the community as a new church in the community, but I feel like, as well as the leadership team and the elders of our church, we have felt like this is an opportunity to kind of reset the mindset, to reset our focus, and to re-engage in what we are about as a church here in Spearfish. That is not to say that we haven't. That's not to say that we're doing any major resetting of our church. But I feel like it's important for us to renew our minds on what it means to be a biblical church in this community. God has given us the blessing and the challenge that is before us. And I think it might be good for us to have our minds renewed on what it means to be a local church here in Spearfish, striving to bring glory to God, to help us keep our minds on track of the purpose and the plan of God for his church, for our church. So this morning on our first communion service in this building, I would like to take some time looking at the book of Acts with the early church. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and following are the verses that we're looking at this morning. I've entitled this morning's sermon, Examining the Faithfulness of the First Church in the Book of Acts. Examining the Faithfulness of the First Church in the Book of Acts from verse 41 and following. I will tell you, beloved, of all the passages of the New Testament that relate to the church that I so much appreciate, it is this passage of Scripture. It is this one that you read, that you have before you this morning, that I feel is a great passage of Scripture for us to get our minds refocused on the purpose and the meaning and the practice of our church. This passage of Scripture, verse 41 and following, really literally gives us a window into the heart of the first church that had ever been born in the history of time. We believe that the church was made up of 120 souls in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. You can read that later. The first church was made up of 120 souls, and they met on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And we believe as a church that the church began on the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the souls of those disciples. God had poured out the Holy Spirit upon the disciples as Jesus promised in chapter 1, verse 8. And when this happened, the first church was born. Literally, the church was brought into unity with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And then, through the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost, there were added 3,000 souls to the church. You see that in verse 41, if you'll look at that with me. It says, so then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. That church went from nothing to 120 to 3,120 souls, and it happened on the day of Pentecost. We believe this happened on that day. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said to his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The church had not been born yet, but Christ was promising there would come a day when he would build the church, he would start the church, and it would be built upon the rock of the word, and the gates of Hades would not overpower it. Now, what I think is so special about this passage of scripture on the first church is, as I said, this is the first church of all the churches that would follow. This was the first church that would set the pattern for all churches to follow from here on into eternity. And trust me, and you all know, there would be many churches that would follow after this first church. You can read the book of Acts and quickly learn of all the churches that unfold from this moment on through the Apostle Peter and his missionary endeavors, and then through the Apostle Paul and all of his travels and all of his missionary journeys. There were multiple churches that were planted underneath the work and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And then even after the New Testament had been completed, the church continued on. And church after, to do a study of church history, and you were to look at just at the core level of the United States of America, in this nation alone, you would learn that there have been many, if any church were to ever God-honoring church that would have all the essential ingredients of a church, it is this church, the first church in the book of Acts. This time, in this generation, in 2017, that we can learn from, there are some principles in this passage that we can glean, that can teach us to be focused on. It is so easy, beloved, to get sidetracked on what it is that we should be about and what it is that should characterize us as a church. And this every church must keep in mind and practice to help us recenter our minds on what it means to be a true church. That we learn about the faithful church in the book of Acts is the first church was faithful to the word of God. Notice what Luke, the writer, says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. 120 souls that were added to the church that day, they were themselves to the apostles' teaching. The first principle of church of all churches, the faithful church, is this church was faithful. Note, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, something that I find quite striking about this first total devotion. Now, I didn't add to the word of God, that is true. God is, I want to bring out first and foremost their devotion, their commitment. The writer Luke, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that this church continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This was a church that was marked by devotion. The first characteristic of a faithful church is, first and foremost, they're faithful. They're faithful at all levels. And I love the fact that the language puts an article in front of each point: teaching, fellowship, communion, and to prayer. They are just devoted to all the aspects of the church. This is a church that is devoted. Now, I don't know about you, beloved, but I think as a pastor, one of the attributes that I pray for and desire most for our church is devotion. That is the attribute that I desire in my own personal life, and it is the the attribute and characteristic that I desire in the church corporately as well. I think this is one of the attributes that in my mind is probably the most important attribute for the church: devotion. And why is this? Because it's what Jesus says in the Gospels. Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And oh, can we not relate to that? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, oftentimes when it comes to church life or to planting churches or any service in the church, one of the things that we can do as people is get really gung-ho and excited about a new program or a new church, or get excited about a new ministry that the Lord is starting. And we may get all fired up and we may be gung-ho about that ministry. But after a few months of time pass and the labor gets difficult and the time gets hard, the flesh becomes a problem and we become weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus knew the common weakness of mankind. He knew that we as people are often willing in the spirit, but we are greatly weakened in the flesh and by the flesh. We may have great intentions, but over a period of time, it starts to wane and it starts to fade. Well, this was not the case for the early church. The early church was a devoted church. I want to call your attention to the descriptive words there. Notice it was continually devoting. This is a church that was actively, continually devoting themselves to all the aspects of church life. The language indicates this is a present, active verb. This is a present continuous action, and it was actively committed and done by the participants of the early church. It is not a present passive verb, meaning they were just passively being devoted. They were actively pursuing devotion to the things of God, ongoing action. And I remind you, not just a few, but all of the members of the church were constantly devoting themselves. They were a committed group. They were a faithful group. There was not a half-hearted bunch of people. They were not half-heartedly committed to the work of the Lord. They were fully committed and fully devoted. Now, what a commendation for the first church of all the churches to come out of the New Testament: devotion, commitment, faithfulness. That is the adjective that is given to describe the first church. If there's one adjective that I would love to have for us, it is that adjective: devotion, faithfulness. You know, we've named ourselves Faith Bible Church, but maybe the better word would be devoted Faith Bible Church, or committed Faith Bible Church, or faithful Faith Bible Church. What a great adjective to describe a church: devotion, commitment. It's unfortunate that this attribute is something that is fading fast in the culture in which we live. It's hard to find commitment, faithfulness, loyalty from people in our culture. The culture itself teaches that devotion and commitment is not something that you really need. And you're committed only as far as you are pleased and you are happy. But the minute sacrifice comes into play and the minute it is uncomfortable, then you know what? Well, maybe devotion isn't so important. Devotion and commitment is something that is hard to find in the culture in which we live in. People aren't committed to their friends. They're not committed to their spouses, to their children, to their jobs, to their employees. The government is not committed at all. You can see that in a few minutes of the news and what's going on in our government. But that is not the heart of our God. God is a God of commitment and faithfulness praise the Lord. He is faithful to you when you are unfaithful to him. And God, though he is faithful to you, he expects faithfulness from you. And God takes no pleasure in the delight of half-hearted worshipers. I remind you of what he said to the nation of Israel in their disobedience. Isaiah 29, verse 13. This is a frightening passage, beloved. It says, "Then the Lord said, this people draws near with their words and honors me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." God went on to say in Amos chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, he says, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not even look at your peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps, but let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God was not pleased with half-hearted worshipers. Hosea 6:6, he says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Hosea 6:6. And just in case you think that's the God of the Old Testament and not the New Testament, I remind you of Hebrews 13:8. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we learn very quickly that God still wants fully devoted worshipers. You can look in Revelation in chapters 2 through 3 of all the addresses that Christ gives the early church and how he gives the church, the seven churches in Revelation, and all of them have some warning that he gives them to be faithful to the end. Beloved, this is the key to our church at the core level. It is the key to our success. It is the most important adjective that we need to add to the name or to who we are. It is devotion, commitment, faithfulness. I call your attention to what they were faithful to. Notice what it says. He says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. This was a church that was faithful to the word of God. I want you to also notice in that list, notice what is first in the list. Notice that the thing that is first in the list that they're devoted to is the teaching of the word of God that was proclaimed through the apostles. Do you think that that was coincidental or providential? I think it was providential. I think the list, the order, is actually very important. And it's interesting that the first thing that we find the early church being faithful to, it is the word of God. How important is that for a church? If a church is not devoted to the word of God, then what are or what is that church? If a church is not devoted to the word of God, then basically their devotion is to a club, not to a church. The word of God is perseverance of the church. Without the word of God, I've said this before, there would be no existence of the church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God." You see, something that we need to be reminded of is the church didn't create the word created the church. It is the word that brought forth the New Testament church. Without the word, there would be no church. And without the word, the church would not persevere to the end. Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." The early church understood the importance and the value of the word of God. They understood that the word of God was a reflection of God himself. Psalm 138, verse 2, you have magnified your word according to all your name. The early church understood that by honoring the word, they were honoring God himself. The early church understood the power of the word of God for the salvation of their own souls and for the sanctification of their own souls. They understood the word of God and the value for the salvation of other souls and for the sanctification of other souls as well. We see this with Peter in his sermon. If we had time, it'd be great to go through this sermon, but we see it on his sermon. Verses 14 through 21, what does Peter do on the day of Pentecost? He stands up, and what does he do? He exposits the word of God to the people. He proclaims the gospel. He explains the event that has just occurred with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, using the Old Testament scriptures to explain the event that took place. And then he launches off into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he preaches Christ in verse 22, proclaiming Jesus. And he preaches against sin in verses 23, talking about how they nailed him to a cross. And he preaches repentance from sin, verse 38, and he preaches forgiveness from sin, verse 38, part B. And God uses the word to save those souls. Verse 41, 3,000 souls were added. What is the first attribute that we want to anchor our minds to and be centered as a church here in Spearfish? We want to be a faithful church to the word of God. Beloved, this is so important as a church for us to be focused on. I think we do a good job of this for the most part. I think we all understand that we are a church that is known by the word of God. We are a church that strives to declare the word of God with boldness, without shame, being ashamed. But we all God. How easy it is as a church that proclaims the word of God and strives, but how important it is for us as a church to have orthopraxy along with orthodoxy. Orthopraxy, putting into practice what we know to be true as believers. Boldness. We want to do this with certainty, like Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, of God's word. We want to do this with practicality. We want to live it out. This is the first principle of the faithfulness of the first church that we find in our passage this morning. Let's look at the second principle. The second principle that we find of the faithfulness of the first church is the first church was faithful to the word of God, but she was also faithful to the work of God. We see this in verse 42 and following. Notice what it says. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, faithful to the ministry of prayer. Notice what Paul says. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. And I will tell you, of all the ministries that needs devotion and serious devotion, it is the ministry of prayer. Because prayer, if you've tried to be faithful in prayer, it is a ministry and it is a discipline. It is a difficult discipline. The early church was devoted to the work of God in prayer, not only in the outworking of their hands in service, but the work of folding the hands in prayer as they went to the God of heaven to find and get all their needs met and all the blessings that would come through reliance and dependence upon God himself. This was a devoted church to prayer. What an incredible, incredible description of the early church. Dependent, relying upon for the good of the church and the grace and the glory of God to be exalted in prayer for others and for the salvation of others. You realize, beloved, how much the book of Acts talks about prayer? And here's something that I think we forget. Whenever we read prayer or we see a command to pray in the New Testament, especially in Acts, we tend to think it's individual, it's personal. It's you going into your prayer closet and just praying by yourself. But you realize most of the commands to prayer, to pray in the New Testament and to pray in Acts, is a corporate prayer. Paul in the Epistles and Luke commands us to pray corporately. And this is exactly what we see from the early church. This church was born in a prayer meeting in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The church was continually devoting themselves to prayer, and they set times to pray, and the leadership set times to pray. We see that in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And the church was praying continually, constantly, for the protection and the grace of God to flow out through the local church in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. They were continually praying. You realize, in fact, almost every single chapter in the book of Acts mentions the church praying in some way. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 20, 21, 22, and 28 all mention corporate prayer. This was the heart of the early church. I have a question for you. Does that sound like a church you want to be a part of? It certainly does to me. And doesn't it sound like this was a church that made everything of their life and existence about the church? Don't you get the sense that this church, their life, their blood, their existence was all centered around the life and the activity and the worship and the praise of God through and in the church? This was a church that was committed to the Word of God. This is a church that was committed to the work of God. We see that. Look at what it says practically, how they demonstrated this. Verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together, notice this, with gladness and sincerity of heart, notice verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What a church. I love gladness and sincerity of heart. I love that. This was a church that genuinely, sincerely loved the work of God through the church and the Word of God in the church and declaring the Word of God to one another and to the lost. They sacrificed for one another. They gave what they could to the saints that were in need, verse 44 through 45. They spent time together, verse 46. They were united with one another. Notice it says in one mind in the temple, they were together. They were breaking bread from house to house. They were in unity with one another. And they loved one another. It was a genuine love, both practically and emotionally. Gladness and sincerity of heart describe this church. This was a church that was devoted to the Word of God, to the work of God, and guess what else? To the worship of God. They were praising God, verse 47, and guess what happened when they did that? Then they were committed to the witness of God. The witness of God flowed to the community and out to the lost, and many were coming to know Jesus Christ through this church. This is the model for all churches. Now that should refocus our hearts for our church and going forward, get us back on track with what we need to be doing and thinking about and being as a church that patterns the early church, moving forward toward the upward call of God in the midst of the great blessing of having a facility and also with the challenge of losing a worship leader and a youth leader. It is following these principles. It is striving to put them into practice. Beloved, we must not lag in zeal for the church and devotion to the church and the Word of God. We must grow in our devotion, in our work with God in the church. I ask you some questions to really ponder, beloved. And I say this with